So in the book of Mark, we see Jesus. And I love this story about Jesus because this is one of those stories where you get to see his character. You get to see what he's really like and how he's going to treat people. And when you read a story like this, it makes you think, what is wrong with us? Look what he's doing. And we reject this in the world? Look at his character and how he feels for people. And to say, you know, I don't think I really want to be part of this. And it breaks my heart. And being where I am, it's, you know, teaching fifth graders, I was so excited to teach them about who Jesus was. And then I taught the high school. And that was a little bit harder. Kids change in high school. I don't think I like high school students, you know. Maybe when they get to college, it'll be cool. No, but boy, fifth graders, they love hearing what you say. And then to share it from the pulpit is, or to be in at Walmart or wherever, or at Costco or on the union job, sharing the word of God and who he is. And this story reveals his character. And it's a story about demons. And today, we don't talk too much about demons. Do we believe in them? Most of the world doesn't. But have you ever met someone with demons? Oh, I see a lot of heads now. Yes, demons are real. And diseases are real. And is there a difference? And do we know what they are? And so I'm not going to go into the psychology thing or psychiatry because I know nothing about it, okay? So I'm going to stick to what I do know, all right? And I know a little thing about ailments and a little bit about demons. So I'm going to stick to the Bible, what I do know. If I cross the line, let me know, okay? Because I don't know nothing about psychiatry. I know people are crazy, that's for sure. But here's, in the book of Mark, we see, it's very brief. You ever read the story of Jesus in the book of Mark when he went out into the desert to be tempted? He goes, Jesus went out, was tempted, and then the devil left, and then the animals came, and the angels were there. That's it. Fairly short. The book of Luke and Matthew have a much nicer drawn-out version of what happened with the three temptations. Mark keeps it short, and Mark keeps it sweet, because he doesn't want to mince words, and there's not a whole lot of fluff there. We see first there in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus goes to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one with authority, not as just a regular teacher. Just then there was a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit. And the spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus says to the man, "Come out, impure spirit." And it throws the man to the ground. The spirit leaves him. The man's normal. He's got authority, doesn't he? He sees a demon. He tells it to come out and gets rid of it. As soon as he left the synagogue, he went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her and he took her hand and he helped her up, and the fever left her and she began to wait on them. That night after sunset, people brought all types of people to Jesus, the sick and the demon possessed. The whole town gathered at that door, and Jesus healed many with various diseases and he drove out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him, "If you are willing, will you make me clean?" And Jesus was indignant. He reached out and he touched the man's hand. He said, "I am willing, be clean." And the leprosy left him. Why am I telling you these things? We think of people 2,000 years ago. How smart were they? How clever were they? And what were their doctors like? And we saw last week in Mark chapter 7, where the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and all the doctors, they took her money, but they couldn't heal her, right? They didn't know what was going on. So we think maybe these people are primitive, and they don't know they think everything's supernatural and spooky and caused by demons. But what do we learn here? They know the difference. There's leprosy, which is a disease. They know what a fever is, and then they know what a demon is. They know the difference, right? Do you see that? This is important. They know what diseases are. They're not dumb. They know what a salve will do or a good balm will do. But they also recognize a demon when they see it. And so Jesus he wants to get away from everyone. He healed the whole town, right? And he's kind of worn out after we spend a lot of time with people. Don't we love to go to our own homes, right? And take a little time away from everyone and then get right back into it tomorrow morning again. And so they get in the boat and they sail across the Lake of Galilee. And there's a storm there, and he calms the storm. That's a story for another day. But they get to the other side, and it's nighttime. Verse 1, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet them. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. And night and day in the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, do not torture me." This sounds familiar, doesn't it? He's done this, right? We see a man, and it's nighttime, and it's a spooky time. Does anyone like going by graveyards at night? When I was a kid, I used to work at my cousin's store up there, Fairhome Market, and I would pump gas. I told you the story 100 times, you know. During the gas crisis of, what, 76 or something, I'd pump gas and put oil in people's cars, and I'm in fifth grade, and people would yell at me. You know, you put too much in, you know. I only asked for $2. Yeah, I didn't want 2 1/4. Ooh, I'm in fifth grade, man. You know, and that's when we had the cardboard oil cans, right, Fran? Remember those? You had to stick them in that thing and then not get it all over the place. So here I am in cars putting oil in them in fifth grade. And so I would sometimes ride my bicycle to work, refill sodas and pump gas, and then drive home and go by Sharp Cemetery at night. Boy, that was scary, huh? You pedaled fast, you know? And I was a little fat kid, but I could really get going past Sharp Cemetery. Boy, things have changed, eh? What are you all laughing for? And so it's creepy time, isn't it? And there's somebody in the middle of the tombs, you know, which are cut out in the sides of the hills. Tombs are a little bit different back then. You put the body in there, put a stone, and when the body had disintegrated, they would take the bones and put them in a box and put the name of it. It was called an ossuary. And they think they found Jesus' bones, but no, they did not find his bones because he went straight up, right? No bones with him. There's one out of 13 people was named Jesus back in those days. Very popular name. But he's a crazy man, and it's a creepy time of night, and he's running around, he's screaming, and nobody wants to be near him, right? And he's strong because he's demon-possessed. And what does he shout? He knows who Jesus is, doesn't he? We sometimes think about that. He knows exactly who he is, just like the man in the synagogue. I know who you are. You're the Son of the Most High. You are Jesus. You are the Messiah. Don't torture me, he says, because he wants to keep his demons. They don't want to leave him. They found a host, and they don't want to leave, and they know that Jesus is going to cast them out because he has the power. But he says, come out of you, and they don't leave. They don't leave at first, do they? For Jesus said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. And they don't come out. They're not listening. And Jesus gets to my favorite line here. What's your name? Jesus wants to know his name. He says, my name is Legion. For we are many. Many, many demons are in this man. A legion of Roman soldiers was how many? 6,000, right? 6,000 demons are in this man. And this was an area that was conquered by Rome, and so they would have seen legions. And what legions do to the people, he would have seen the torture or the slaughter of many of his friends. And so he's going a little crazy, and he's got all these demons in him. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. There's a large herd of pigs in the area, so you know it's a Gentile area, right? Because the Jews, according to Leviticus, did not eat swine. Swine was unclean. Today we go, well, we love bacon and ham, right? But back then, we know they had diseases. And it was an animal you did not eat. But the Gentiles ate it, and there's 2,000 of them. And the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, and we will go live in them. And he gave them permission to do so. Jesus controls the spirit. And they came out and they went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 number, they rushed down a steep bank into the lake and they were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what was happening. You make a commotion, people are going to have. They must have, what a noise that would have made, huh? 2,000 pigs running down a hill, jumping into the lake and drowning. When they came to Jesus, though, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the demons, he was sitting there, and he's finally dressed, and he's in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs. And the people asked Jesus to leave their area. As Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Jesus did not let him, but he said, "Go. Go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Jim Jones preached this story 10 times in my 18 years there. Seemed every so often we would hear it, and I would get angry every time because I'm worried about the stupid pigs. What about the pigs? You just can't take people's property. It's the pigs, and sure, it's an unclean animal. It made me mad. What about the pigs, you know? I watched that stupid movie John Wick the other night. Don't watch it. The actor is really good. Everyone loves Keanu Reeves, right? But he just shoots everybody, and because they shot his dog. And everyone is upset about the dog, right? It was a cute little beagle. In the movie, he just gets everyone back. He pays them all back in spades, you know? And then they made four more movies, and he's just shooting everybody. And I get sucked in, like Captain Phillips, and I watch this, and I'm worried about the dog, you know? And we're worried about the pigs. And we're putting something over a human. We're putting these stupid pigs. We can replace the pigs. But look what this man gets back. He gets his life back, right? He's dressed, he's not calm, and people are afraid. Afraid of this. I actually have 3 points I wanted to talk about today. And thinking about why this, you get to understand who Jesus is. He goes into an area where he's not, where it's not his religion. He goes into the area of the Gentiles and to the world. And he sees a people, and he sees a man who's crazy and needs the healing. And what's he call him? He calls him by name. Communion Sunday is one of my favorites. I love Communion Sunday because I try to, have you all noticed I use your names? Last time I forgot one name. Because you all come up to me, I go, "What's your name?" It's Diane, that's it. And it takes, you know, and it's like a little quiz, you know. And I used to do this at Jane's, and I try to guess, remember everyone's name, and I forgot one name. Does anyone remember who I forgot? Barb, do you remember? Because it was you. You came up, and I went, "Oh, yeah. Bread. For you. You. I got everyone else but Barb." And when you left, I went, "Darn, that was Barb. I had the rest of you." Because Jesus calls us by name. It's our favorite word, isn't it? Our name. It's the favorite thing. Even if your mom's yelling at you, at least she knows who you are. You know, with 6 of us, she's like, "Mark, God, Sean, Matt, Kim, Heather, come here. We're all in trouble." He calls us by name. Isn't that what we want to hear? When it comes to disease, Jesus can heal our diseases. And sometimes he doesn't, but he can. Sometimes we're waiting for him to do it, and he doesn't, but he can. He can heal us mentally, physically, psychologically. He can heal us all. Only he can do it. We got a lot of friends in AA, and who do they call upon to heal them? The Creator, right? God can heal them. God can touch them, and he does. If you haven't been to an AA meeting, go to one as support. I've been to a couple just to be with them, and boy, it's victory. They're winning. They're beating their demons because of God. And the last thing he tells us, he wouldn't let the man come with them. He says, "Go. Go to your people and share what you've seen and share what you've heard and tell everyone you know." And when you're at Costco and you're at the liquor store, I gave that Bible last week. I was at the liquor store Monday morning. Anyone else? I hope you don't think I have a problem here. No. Just getting a 6-pack of wine for my wife, right? The good stuff. And my friend Marty, who I've known since this big, is said, my son was looking forward to this. So glad you brought it, you know, and it's a study Bible, and I wanted him to have it, and I hope this young man reads it and comes to know Christ even better. He's got a good idea who Jesus is, but he doesn't have the details yet. And wait till he reads it. His life's going to change, and he's going to be out on the street preaching to everyone he knows because he really wants to share it. Share the experience. He wants a relationship with you, and he knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head, he says. Only Jesus can really cure us. This world, I was a little bit depressed this week until I sat down and read the Word. How can you be depressed reading this to knowing who he really is? How does the world reject who Jesus is? What's he want? To call you by name, to heal you, and to send you out to share his love, huh? What else is there important in life? What did Isaiah 55 say right there we read together? What did it say? Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come and listen to me, he says, and you may live. And I will make a promise with you. And you will be a witness to the people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news. We thank you for your beloved son, your servant son, the servant king who came down from heaven to serve us, to be a ransom for our sins, to take the punishment that we deserve. What an incredible story. He knows us by name. He wants to heal us and to love us. And he wants us to share his word. It sounds too good to be true. But what kind of love is this? It's amazing love. And we go out into the world and we need to let the world know that there is hope, that there is healing, that there is compassion and mercy abundantly, that they are loved. And so we thank you, Father, for all that you've given us. And we pray together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we say, Amen.